No matter if points are gained or points are lost, there will be much to discuss. For analysis regarding tonight's Winnipeg Jets game, here are Dave Manuk, Ezra Ginsberg, and your host, Drew Mandel. The Illegal Curve post-game show starts now.
Good evening, Winnipeg. Good evening, Manitoba, for all those joining us live this evening on our YouTube channel and all of our social media platforms. We say good evening, universe, and welcome to the Illegal Curve post-game show brought to you by our friends at Betway. With Dave Manuk, I'm your host, Drew Mandel. We'll have to reset the number of days since Ezzy missed a show banner, but that's okay. We can we'll trudge through this post game show without Mr. Ginsberg, who assures us that he'll return for tomorrow night's post game show. Dave, the Winnipeg Jets victorious tonight against the defending Stanley Cup champion Colorado Avalanche by a 4-3 margin, an overtime victory for the Jets. A very tidy effort, a neat effort against a very talented team. As you and I were talking about before we began the show, this was an entertaining hockey game. Even no matter what the result was going to be, this was a game that had me entertained, that kept my attention for the entirety of the 60 minutes. I'd be lying if I said every game keeps my attention. Monday's game against Dallas was a bit of a snooze fest compared to this one. This was a fun game to watch between two teams that put forth a pretty entertaining effort for game number three or game number four of the season for each team, respectively.
Yeah, there's no question about that, Drew. And that was one of the things you were wondering, was were the Jets going to be able to, you know, maintain the pace? Obviously, the news the Avs got, no Gabriel Landeskog. He's out 12 weeks with arthroscopic knee surgery, which he had in Minnesota, I believe, a couple days ago or yesterday. So you've got him out. And obviously, Nikolai Ehlers was a game-time decision. I thought maybe that was a result of his getting hit in the hand in Dallas. According to Associate coach, Scott Arneil, two wins, by the way, under Scott Arneil's tutelage. But I thought that was potentially that he would have that would be an issue. But he said that's not it. It was something unrelated to that. So you had no Ehlers and no Landeskog, which are both, you know, losses, of course, for the big two lines. And a little bit of a surprise before we even get into it. Some lineup changes, right? We expected Dylan Sandberg to come in for Logan Stanley and we weren't sure what was going to happen, obviously, when Ehlers came out, but they did a little bit of shifting, a little bit of line manipulation. And it wasn't, they just, you know, put Sam Gagner in Nikolai Ehlers' spot, but they actually made a number of moves. Three of the four lines, of course, got adjusted, and Mason Appleton, the biggest one, being moved up to the top line with Mark Scheifele and Kyle Connor. And, you know, it's funny. I said before the game, it's amazing what Mason Appleton has done in terms of the amount of work he really has. He is a workhorse, right? And he doesn't. And it's funny because I got a little slack for it. I said, look, here's the guy who started on the fourth line with the Manitoba Moose when he started his pro career out of Michigan State. And then he worked his way up to, you know, the first line with the Moose. I'm not trying to throw in a Moose minute here, Drew, but I think it's a critical factor. And of course, won AHL Rookie of the Year in 17-18, and then just worked his way to being an important piece to the Winnipeg Jets. And showing that, you know, hey, there's an opportunity here. And that's the key, right? That's the one word I always use, because that's what I said earlier. I said, it's all about opportunity. And if Mason Appleton can take advantage of it, well, then, you know, that's going to be good for him. And of course, two assists for him in the game, of course, none bigger than the winner, but we'll get back into that. I just thought that was an interesting choice to throw Mason Appleton down to that top line. And, you know, you add some size, a little bit of speed, and, you know, a little bit of determination. It's not a bad combination for a player who's hungry. And so, That was an interesting way for this game to start for the Winnipeg Jets. And again, you're going up against I know the Stanley Cup champs aren't happy with their game right now. And some of the articles I was reading in the Denver Post, you know, talked about how they themselves were doing some mixing and matching of the lines and that sort of thing. So, you know, Colorado wants to make some changes, but regardless, they are still the defending Stanley Cup champs, and you can see it. You can see the talent is evident in their team. So, you got to give the Jets full marks for what they were able to accomplish tonight in Denver.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, and you spoke eloquently there, Dave, about Mason Appleton, because I think a lot of us were expecting, well, we're surprised that you spoke eloquently first before.
I was actually,
but in addition to that, we were, I think a lot of people were expecting to see maybe Sam Gagner get the bump up there, because that's how the sort of lines looked in morning skate after Nikolai Ehlers left morning skate early, and Sam Gagner got moved up there for the remainder of the skate. It ends up being Mason Appleton, of course, which results in some line juggling on the bottom two lines. But you talk about opportunity, and Mason Appleton is a guy who I haven't been the word I would use for him since he's come back to Winnipeg, and last year was such a slog for everybody, but the word that I would have used last year for his time back in Winnipeg was a little underwhelming. I didn't know what what the Jets really had in Mason Appleton. I didn't know if he had sort of another level to his game. Now, this has been one game, so let's not get carried away and start saying, he's a Hart Trophy nominee or anything like that. But I thought Mason Appleton, with that opportunity, with the bump up to play with Scheifele and with Connor, showed more to his game than I thought. I thought he played physically, and that's when Mason Appleton, I think, is at his best, is when he's physically engaged. No more so than, of course, on that last goal, which we'll get into when we get into the Betway game recap. But in terms of the line juggling, in terms of the shuffling, I thought the coaching staff did a good job. I thought the Jets players themselves did a good job. Obviously, not having Nikolai Ehlers in your lineup is a detriment. That hurts. There's no way of sugarcoating that, but the Jets took a bad situation and they made the best of it. And again, a balanced effort, I thought, from everybody right through the lineup. Now, it wasn't all perfect, but that's because, frankly, the Colorado Avalanche are still a more talented team than the Winnipeg Jets, even without Gabriel Landeskog, who, as you mentioned, is out of the lineup. But the Jets, I thought, stayed with it throughout the course of the 60 minutes. When the Jets got in trouble, and obviously we will touch on that when we go through the goals, it was, there were some self-inflicted issues there. There was issues of unfortunate timing with the stick breaking, leading to the scramble in the zone. But most important from my perspective is the Jets played the third period like they weren't chasing. They didn't feel the need to chase in the third period. Similar to what we saw after New York tied the game in the home opener in that third period, if you recall back. The Rangers tied the game, I think it was 1-1 at that point in time in the third period, and the Jets' approach didn't change. The Jets' style didn't change. What the Jets had to do to be victorious didn't change. Now, tonight, the Jets were very content on just sort of collapsing into a defensive shell. And that's what we've seen from Rick Bonus's teams in the past. That's what we saw a lot from with the Dallas Stars, is that when they're in the lead or when they're in a tight situation, they're content at really playing a defense-first style. I didn't know if the Jets had that in them. I don't know that they necessarily yet have it in them consistently. But we've now seen it in two of the three games in the third periods. In against the Rangers, as I mentioned, the Jets didn't start chasing the game. They didn't start playing their fire wagon brand of hockey. And today they were certainly content, keeping that shell, that defensive shell, earning that one point and getting the game to overtime. And then obviously in overtime, good things happen for this team. And so there's something to be said for the Jets trying to rid themselves of some of their bad habits. We saw some of the bad habits in the course of the game. We saw some of the bad habits on Monday in Dallas, but ultimately there was more good than bad for the Winnipeg Jets in tonight's effort, resulting in a impressive 4-3 victory against the Stanley Cup champion Colorado Avalanche. The Jets feel good about themselves, improved to 1-1 on the road trip, 2-1 on the season, and they head to Vegas tomorrow night for the second half of a back-to-back against another talented team in the Vegas Golden Knights. But more good than bad for the Winnipeg Jets tonight. We say good evening to everybody again. Welcome to the Illegal Curve post-game show. Alongside Dave Manuk, I'm your host, Drew Mindell. If you're new here, at the bottom of your screen. Yes, I'm in full soliloquy mode. I saw somebody else say that I think I'm in monologue mode. Yes, it happens. Usually it's about a rant. No rant so far today. Only positive vibes. Only happy smiley, Drew. I know it's disconcerting to you as it is to everybody else. At the bottom of your screen, underneath the description of the show that you're watching, click that link. You can enter contests. We give away great Jets swag, jerseys, hats, sweatshirts, whatever else we have, t-shirts, hats. I'm pretty sure we have even more things that Dave M would know about. Click that link. Do some of those entry-getting. I'm stumbling on my words here, Dave.
I'm like, entry-getting? Drew, it's time for me to talk. If you're calling it entry-getting, dear God, yes. Please, Drew.
Talk.
Yes, lots of opportunities for you to enter our contest. Just hit the link down below. Tons of you have already entered. We've got another winner of a Jets jersey. It's kind of arbitrary. I decided, do I want to give away a jersey tonight? Do I want to give t-shirts and hats away? Whatever you get, it's always great to win. They're authentic Jets jerseys, hats, and shirts. We've also got Seagram swag that we got last year. We're probably going to give a lot of that away when we appear at the ice fishing show in a couple of weeks. So we'll have more about that later on. Lots of great things to win. So you get to come here. You get to be part of the conversation, and folks get upset when I'm not talking. But the truth is, I'm really just reading the conversation anyways. I find it more entertaining than listening to Drew do his little soliloquy. So don't worry, folks. I'm with you. I'm a man of the people. Forget it. Forget this. I'm not part of Drew's little elitism up here.
I see a lot of people asking about the secret word. The secret word for tonight's game. Dave M is going to put it up on the screen.
I am.
The secret word in order to get additional entries into our contest. Tonight's secret word, all one word, all caps, mile high. Typically, that's what Ginsburg is, but in tonight, we're referring to it as where the Jets played in Denver. Mile high is the secret code word for tonight's entry into the Illegal Curve contest. Be sure to enter that to get extra entries. If you don't already follow all of us on our respective social medias, do that. Comment, retweet us, favorite us, share us. All those things will win you more entries. And later on in the program, we will announce the winner of the most recent Illegal Curve contest. Let's get into the Betway game recap, Mr. Dave. The Betway game recap is, of course, brought to you by Betway, one of the most trusted voices in sports betting, both in Canada and all around the world. Betway is the sports betting app that puts you, the customer, at the forefront. With a large selection of betting options and sports, as well as strong promotions and fair odds, what are you waiting for? Head on over to Betway and bet your way. Must be 19 years or older to play. Please play responsibly. Thank you, Rob, for saying I'm a good person. I agree. I was talking for far too long, but unfortunately, there's probably plenty of people who would disagree with me being a good person, but I appreciate the compliment nonetheless. Rob, you too are a good person. Winnipeg Jets opened the goal scoring for the third consecutive game. Sam Gagner, his second of the year, assist to Adam Lowry and Cole Perfetti. It's the Jets. It's a power play goal. So, of course, we should mention that this is the Jets' sort of revamped second unit on the power play with Nikolaj Ehlers out of the lineup. And it's a bit of a goal-mouth scramble. The first time I had to watch it, I'm like, how did Gagner get his stick in there? And the Avs defenseman, I believe it may have been Eric Johnson, if I'm not mistaken, not interfere and not block the shot, not get the puck out of harm's way. But Sam Gagner was able to do so. Eric Johnson, the puck bounced away from him a bit, and Gagner was able to sort of use a bit of a pitching wedge to get it up and over Alexander Georgiev to give the Winnipeg Jets a 1-0 lead, 6 minutes and 52 seconds into the period.
Yeah, the veteran Sam Gagner is looking like he doesn't want to go anywhere. He's an unstoppable force. So, and that's what the Jets need, because they need that versatility, right? They need someone who can do what he does, which is if he needs to play on the fourth line, he'll play on the fourth line. If you need to throw him up to PP2, then he'll do that as well. And I think that's the versatility that he brings. And look, you've already got two goals out of him out of three games. I mean, that's a huge win for Kevin Cheveldayoff. It really is. It's not as if he's taking up huge minutes in order to do so. So when you're getting that kind of production out of a guy who you've signed for that kind of contract, I mean, that's a big win, right? We talk about guys last year who were signed and playing on the fourth line. And one of the things we spoke about, and obviously this goal wasn't scored at 5-on-5, but the point is that, you know, one of the things you needed was a contribution. You couldn't just hold your own. You needed to actually be able to score some goals and put the puck in the back of the net, because that's what the Jets needed last year, and they didn't have it, which was balance. And that's one of the things we talked about this year, is that they really need to have that move towards a much more balanced lineup, because, you know, and we saw it, like you saw it in the shift length, right? Sometimes when these guys would take these shifts, especially in a place like in Denver, where yeah. obviously altitude plays a role. I mean, you have to be cognizant of that. So for a veteran guy like Sam Gagner to get the Jets on the board and get the good feelings going early, I mean, that's massive for this Jets team, which is, you know, they weren't feeling good about themselves after that game in Dallas. And we talked about it, Drew. We talked about it on the Saturday show. How difficult was this opening four games of the season, right? The Rangers. Dallas looked like they were going to be tough again. You didn't know what they were, but they were a playoff team. Mm-hmm. You got Colorado, the defending Stanley Cup champions, and now you got Vegas. Mm-hmm. So those four games were really tough games, and now – you know, you're feeling good about it. You've got 4 out of the 6 points. So, you know, again, like I said, you're not satisfied, but you know that you've accomplished something. And again, you want to get obviously 6 out of 8 if you can, against finishing it off against Vegas before you come back for Toronto. But to me, the critical element is having the versatility of a Sam Gagner who, I mean, there's no ego there either, right? Like he's just happy to play a role on a team and get that opportunity. And that's obviously going to be my buzzword for the 22-23 season. Although I think it was my buzzword for 21-22 as well, you know, because I believe I overworked it when we spoke about Eric Comrie at the beginning of the summer. And boy, as a quick sidebar, what a performance he put on yesterday against the Edmonton Oilers. 46 saves for Eric Comrie to pick up his first win for the Buffalo Sabres. And I know a lot of folks were happy about Eric Comrie picking up that win yesterday at Edmonton. But look, getting back to this Jets team, I mean, that's what you need to see. You need to see that there's an opportunity for these guys and to be able to do it without needing to suck up the minutes of a Cole Perfetti or a Kyle Connor or a Pierre-Luc Dubois. They're able to get it done within the structure of this team. And so that to me is a huge, huge factor. And again, three games into the season, you're not planning the parade, which I saw ironically was written into the chat early into the chat. But I mean, again, like I said, you're not going to win if you don't have depth scoring. And that's one of the things that Scott O'Neill was asked about by our boy Kenny Weeb today, was about the concern with lack of secondary scoring. Well, they got that today. And someone said, I think in the chat as well, we always love to give the chat the shout out, but who would have thunk it that Neil Pionk would have more goals than Kyle Connor? And of course, you know, 3 games into the season, so it's easy to make that joke. But at the same time, you know, you're getting contributions from the defense. One of the things that Rick Bonus talked about.
The defense is coming.
I tweeted it. I said, winter is coming and so is the Jets defense. So that's not a bad thing for the Jets club, because, you know, when Neil Pionk is feeling good, if Neil Pionk has bounced back, and you have Josh Morrissey having bounced back last year, but now you have, like, it's one thing if you get it individually, but you need to have that collective bounce, right? And now that seems to be happening.
And we'll talk about the revamped D pairs later on in the show, of course, after we go through the continue on with the Betway game recap. You mentioned Neil Pionk. It's sort of interesting if you think about the Jets goal scoring in tonight's game. The Jets scored 4 goals. The first goal came at 5-on-4. The second goal came at 4-on-4. The third goal, pardon me, yeah, the first goal came at 5-on-4. The second goal came at 4-on-4. The third goal came at 5-on-5. And of course, the game-winning goal came at 3-on-3. So the Jets scoring in all sorts of different alignment in terms of numbers on the ice at that point. You mentioned Neil Pionk with 2 in the game. His first came at the 13:21 mark of the first period. Assist to Mason Appleton. We talked about Appleton's impact on tonight's game and Josh Morrissey. And it's the D is being activated here. Mason Appleton finds Neil Pionk in a prime scoring opportunity in a prime shooting zone with more space on the ice. You would think the Avs would be the more dangerous team given the firepower that they have. But the Jets in this instance, and of course in overtime, Neil Pionk gets into a scoring zone. You put any NHL player, I don't care how close to the bottom of the lineup they are, in a high danger shooting zone, they have the ability, they have the capability, they have the skill set to notch one. And Neil Pionk certainly notched one at the 13:21 mark to give the Jets an early, or a relatively early, 2-0 lead in the first period, Dave.
Yeah, and I mean, I think it's about having that level of that right level of aggression, right? You saw Neil Pionk being willing to jump up and get into the play, but also knowing that he's going to have someone who's going to back him up, who's going to be back there. One of the forwards is going to recognize that he's taking an aggressive stance. So he's got to get back and he's got to cover for him. And heads up play by Mason Appleton, right? And we talked about it. He's got to be, you can't just be on the first unit and not be producing and not doing things, not creating. And so what do? You create a huge goal that, you know, Neil Pionk's shot is excellent, as we saw twice tonight, and he's not making that mistake. So, you know, like I said, good play all around from those guys, because you need Appleton to be digging in the corner, being willing to be aggressive. And he does have, it's funny, like people seem to forget, oh, he's a third liner, he can't produce. Well, he produced really well at the American Hockey League level. And I know the American Hockey League is different than the NHL. But, you know, if you can produce, you can produce. You know, if you're a guy who can score, you can probably score or you at least have the tools. You might not be at the same level as, you know, Kyle Connor. But again, you know, you have a general idea and you start to get a feel. You start to get you know that there's that expectation on you. So what does Mason Appleton do? He sets up Neil Pionk, and Neil Pionk it really makes no mistake there, Drew. I mean, he just hammers that thing home. And all of a sudden, everybody's like, what is going on right now? Just a 2-0 lead over the defending Stanley Cup champions.
Pinching themselves. Combination of pinching themselves and waiting for the other shoe to drop, I think.
That's right.
It was last year where the Jets, would they jump out to that or that 3-0 lead against the Avs in the first period and ended up losing that embarrassing 7-3 or 8-3 game, whatever the final was last year. I think everybody still was having some PTSD flashbacks to the possibility that may be occurring. And, you know, for a bit there, it did look like that might be occurring in that second period. The Avs get on the scoreboard at the 2:14 mark of the second. You knew they were going to push and you knew that they were going to start to control some of the play. And they certainly did in this instance. Mikko Rantanen, his second of the season, assists to Nathan MacKinnon and Devin Taves, and truly assists also to Mark Scheifele and Josh Morrissey, who both failed to clear the puck. And that's what we've seen so far this year, time and time again. When the Jets fail to clear the puck out of their own zone, it often ends up in scoring chances and or goals for the opponents. You know, Scheifele was trying to clear the puck at the defensive blue line. You saw Kyle Connor sort of blow the zone, waiting to try and get a breakaway pass. And I understand the sentiment behind it. And again, it's hard to sort of get rid of some bad habits. And this one may have been an instance where those bad habits came to bite the Jets. You know, I thought Scheifele should have been able to get it out, but he wasn't. And then the Jets started to scramble. And when you're scrambling against the Globetrotter Avalanche, you're in trouble. Josh Morrissey got the puck on his stick, and I think he was almost surprised that he got the puck on his stick, because he, in a very un-Josh Morrissey-like fashion, sort of just immediately slapped it to try and get it out of the zone. Failed to do so, and then you really felt the other shoe was about to drop. And after more cycling and more cycling and more cycling, and the Jets were completely gassed and completely out of position and discombobulated, it ended up with Mikko Rantanen all alone. And Mikko Rantanen all alone is trouble for all goaltenders, including Connor Hellebuyck. 2-1 for the Jets after that sequence of events.
Yeah, there's no question. I mean, I was watching the game, and as the cycle was continuing, I was like, well, this is only going to end up in trouble for the Winnipeg Jets. And of course, it ends up in the back of their net. And look, you just learn that you cannot afford to make mistakes against, and that's not rocket science, but you can't afford to make mistakes against a team like Colorado, because they'll make you pay. And that's what happens when, I'm going to use a Drewism here.
Oh,
when
boy.
Your attention to detail is lacking.
There you go.
Then your attention to detail is lacking.
The invoice is in the mail for you using a Drewism. You know that.
Sure, but I believe it's ultimately licensed to Leo Curve, so I'm all good. But the point is that that you just have to be aware of the fact that you just can't afford to take the half a second off. And we talked about it. I think, you know, it's similar to, you know, if you think about it, when Pierre-Luc Dubois took his eyes off Tyler Seguin against Dallas and just lost focus on him for just that amount of time. And those little fine details of the game are the ones that, if you lose them against upper echelon teams, then you're going to be made to pay for it. And you know, Connor Hellebuyck could do nothing against on that goal. I mean, he really had zero chance on that. I mean, it was in the back of the net before he even knew what was doing. So credit Colorado, because they showed that they're the defending Stanley Cup champions when they're able to cycle the puck like that against, you know, a decent Jets team against some pretty good guys out there. And they didn't make them look like it was a bit Harlem Globetrottery. I would agree, Drew.
So 2-1 for the Jets at that point in time. Cole Perfetti get regained.
Goal Perfetti
with G regains the Jets' 2-goal lead. That comes at the 9:44 mark of the second period. Assist to Blake Wheeler and Pierre-Luc Dubois. An unnamed individual texted me during the course of the game, heaping criticism upon the play of Blake Wheeler and Pierre-Luc Dubois. Well, they both showed him with their efforts on this Jets' 3rd goal. It starts with Dubois winning a forechecking battle, winning a puck battle behind the net. He gets the puck out to Blake Wheeler. You know, Blake Wheeler with that tremendous vision. You know, he hasn't, you know, maybe he's lost a bit of a step. Maybe he's not as fast off the jump as he once was, but he still has that tremendous vision and is still an effective player for this Winnipeg Jets team. He finds Cole Perfetti left all alone on the side of the net, and Perfetti makes no mistake getting his first of the season to regain the Jets their 2-goal lead just before the halfway mark of the second period and the halfway mark of the game.
Well, you can take, I mean, look, Blake Wheeler may be losing half a step, but one thing you're not going to take away from Blake Wheeler is his passing ability. Mm-hmm. And that is A plus, and that's not going to go anywhere. And one of the interesting comments I thought from yesterday's media availability with Blake, no, not yesterday, because they were off yesterday, the day before, sorry, on Monday with Blake Wheeler was he was asked about Cole Perfetti, and he was asked if he should be talking to him more about whether he needs to shoot more. And Blake Wheeler's response was, no, I don't need to get into his head. I don't need to tell him what to do to give him sort of bog him down in that regard. I just have to, he knows what to do. He's more than capable. He'll know when to shoot. And, you know, look, young players tend to default to the older guys, try and get them the puck a little bit, you know, more than they need to, thread it back to them rather than take a shot when they have it. And we saw that maybe a little bit with Cole Perfetti last year, but I think this year is going to be a little bit different. And look, it's ironic that, of course, it was Wheeler right to Perfetti and right to the back of the net. It was a beautiful goal. Right. And he's got a phenomenal shot. So that's not a surprise. And of course, right away, it's like Cole Perfetti scores rookie of the year. Like, breathless. It's like, yeah. He doesn't even finish scoring. We're already the graphics up on the screen. Cole Perfetti, rookie of the year, Calder. Is he going to win? So look, I think that's what we were expecting with them. We were expecting a guy like Pierre-Luc Dubois to be the man who's going to dig that puck out of talk about clutching, grabbing. This was like a 1990s hockey game, I thought, in some instances, watching guys were bear hugging, Matt, the play when Dubois and Manson got, that was ridiculous because Manson was over Dubois and Dubois reacts because he hates, you know, you can always tell he hates that stuff. But even there was a play earlier in the second period where Dubois had someone draped all over him and there was no call play and no call made. And I thought to myself, like, it's inconsistent. That's the way the refing is, unfortunately, in the NHL. Because mm-hmm. I was thinking, well, call it early, and then these guys are going to smarten up relatively soon, as opposed to let it go all like 90% of the season, and then start to make penalty calls. So, regardless, the fact is that you want to see Wheeler and doing what he needs to do, which is making that pass, and Perfetti knowing that he's got to be a shooter on that line, and that's the one way that line is going to get what. Like I said, that Scott O'Neill was asked about that secondary scoring. And sure enough, that's what they were able to provide. And 3-1, and the Jets are back feeling good again.
They are back feeling good again. The good feelings don't last all that long, just a bit over 6 minutes, as it's at the 16:26 mark of the second period, where Mikko Rantanen gets his second of the game, his 3rd of the season, assist to Bowen Byram and Valerie Nichushkin. And this one, it starts with a broken stick. It starts with Neil Pionk breaking his stick, because if Pionk has his stick, he's got a couple of different opportunities where he's able to clear the puck. The puck comes to him, but you can see that he doesn't have his tools to use. So he's trying to kick the puck. He's trying. I thought he should have actually got down on his hands and knees and tried to just swipe the puck with his hand, not to do it in a way that he'd get penalized for putting his hand over the puck, but sort of pass it to one of his teammates. He's unable to do that. I'm not going to criticize too heavily there, but it eventually ends up when you could sort of, again, feel it happening. The Jets are scrambling. They can't get control of the puck, or at least a guy with a stick can't get control of the puck, and the Globetrotters and the Avalanche start their Globetrotter routine once again, and the Jets are scrambling and the Jets are a little bit out of position and they're trying to do everything. They're unable to clear, and Rantanen is left alone again in front of Connor Hellebuyck, and I think people are beginning to realize bad things happen when that happens, and it ends up in the back of the net for a 3-2 Jets lead with about 3.5 minutes to go in the second period.
That's a classic case of a little thing called deja vu. You know, you're watching this and you're thinking to yourself, here you go again. This is another instance where the Avs show what they're capable of doing when they have time and space, and the Jets just couldn't keep up and couldn't maintain position. And unfortunately for them, it ends up exactly like it had before, with Rantanen in front and putting it past, you know, Connor Hellebuck, giving the number 37 very little chance to make that stop. So, look, I mean, it's a lesson, of course, to be learned from the Winnipeg Jets, is that, you know, you can't take any time off. And and that really, to me, is indicative of how key the shifts are, and that the shift lengths, because when you don't, when you can't, and then obviously if you're being hemmed in, there's nothing you can do, right? If you're being hemmed in, you got to deal with it. And if your shift length goes long, it is what it is, because you can't get out. But, you know, that's just the reality. And we saw one more instance of that where it seemed like, oh boy, here goes, especially, I think it was a 3-3 game at that point. And, you know, that Connor Hellebuck made the stop, which is what he's paid to do. But, you know, I think it's also important to realize, like, you're giving, why is Rantanen, who's one of the most talented players, being left wide open in front of Connor Hellebuck? Because I can understand, you know, guys are scrambling and guys are trying to, you know, stick with their coverage, but
you have to keep your wits about you.
Yeah. And I can't imagine there's a coverage that's calling for leaving one of the most talented players on the ice wide open in front of the net, the goalie, in the highest of high danger chances, areas, I should say. So, you know, that's something for the drawing board. That's something for the video room, where they'll have to watch that again and see what they can do differently. But that's just, like I said, that's just a bit of a lack of dialogue maybe amongst the group, saying, like, you know, recognizing that and covering and amending their coverage in order to prevent Rantanen from being left in way alone in front the way he was.
And goes from bad to worse for the Winnipeg Jets a couple minutes later, almost exactly 2 minutes later, 2 minutes and 1 second later to be exact, on the power play with Mason Appleton in the box for slashing. Nichushkin, his fifth of the year, assist to Rantanen and Makar. And I think coming into tonight's game, the Avalanche power play was operating at something like about a 50% success rate. And you saw it on display during this power play. The puck movement was stellar. The precision was impressive. And it ends up in the back of the net, as, you know, you just see Nichushkin sort of just fall back a little bit, just sort of escape, give himself some time and space, and a perfect setup right on his stick, again, in the high danger area. The Jets defense, I think Mantalainen was a little bit just unable to react quick enough to the puck getting through him, unable to get his stick on it to prevent the seam pass from being executed with a give and go, and it ends up in the back of the net, and it's a 3-3 game after 40 minutes, and the Avalanche have all the momentum, and the Winnipeg Jets, and I'm certain their fan base as well, were thinking, oh boy, here we go again in this third period. And then that third period, as we talked about, Dave, as we talked about off the opening, we said the Jets played what I thought to be a very wise third period, a very structured third period, a third period where they were more than content in shutting off the center of the ice for the most part. I mean, the Jets ended up with 5 shots in the third period. The Avs had 10, but of those shots in the third period, I can't really describe any of them as high danger opportunities. According to Natural Stat Trick, 5 of those shots for the Avs in that third period were of the high danger variety. I can't remember any that I would say were required, you know, grade A saves or required tremendous saves from Connor Hellebuck. Solid saves, good saves, but the Jets, I thought, did an admirable job of really keeping the game to the outsides, keeping the game simple in that third period. A lot of it was sitting back, a lot of it was shutting things down, and I know that's a criticism that a lot of Dallas Stars fans leveled on Rick Bowness and Rick Bowness coach teams, because of course he wasn't behind the bench tonight, still expected to be back hopefully for Tuesday's game as he recovers from COVID. But, you know, whatever it
Saturday,
might be,
Saturday,
pardon me, Saturday's game against the Leafs, I don't know where I came up with Tuesday there, but you know, whatever it was, it was effective, because with the Winnipeg Jets team that was on its heels for a lot of the second period, and Winnipeg Jets team that really looked like the Avalanche were going to take the game to them and potentially win it in regulation, nothing happened in that third period. it was a very effective third period for the Winnipeg Jets, which resulted the game going to extra time, both teams earning the 1 point, and then it going to overtime, where the Winnipeg Jets at the 31-second mark won. Neil Pionk, his second of the season, his second of the game. Right now, it's according to the NHL.com, okay, there it goes. Mason Appleton getting the assist. At first, they didn't credit Appleton with the assist, but really, this is a very interesting setup. So the Avalanche start overtime with their top guns, with their superstars, with Nathan MacKinnon, with Cale Makar, with Mikko Rantanen on the ice. And the Winnipeg Jets, you thought, would counter with their top guns, Scheifele, Connor, maybe Dubois, maybe, you know, a defenseman, you know, go strength against strength. Scott Arneil doesn't do that. He goes with the unexpected trio of Pionk, Adam Lowry, and Mason Appleton to start overtime. The Avs get possession to begin. They win the draw. They get possession, and they get some zone time in the Jets zone. Nothing that required, you know, a tremendous save from Connor Hellebuyck. Then the puck sort of rings around the boards, and Mason Appleton wins a puck battle. And it's a great victory and a great sort of cherry on top of a very solid night for Mason Appleton. He wins the puck battle, chips it up to Neil Pionk, who breaks in 2-on-1 with Adam Lowry. Neil Pionk elects to shoot, and boy, did he shoot. An absolute rocket past Alexander Georgiev, giving the Winnipeg Jets a 4-3 victory in Colorado, Dave.
Look, I mean, I think one of the, first of all, I want to make a comment about the third period, if I may, Drew, just because
you may.
I think one of the keys that we tend to focus on or we think about is the fact that people are like, well, it wasn't the most exciting period. Look, you could have an exciting period and lose 6-3.
Right.
You know, I mean, you're going up against the defending Stanley Cup champions and you need to play a solid team game. And that's what the Jets were able to do. So, yeah, I mean, that third period has to be seen as a win. I agree with you because, you know, you get to overtime. Sure, you're up 3-1 at one point and you could have walked out with a clean win, and clean wins are always going to be better. But, you know, you want to get to overtime. And I thought it was an incredibly calculated move to start with Lowry and Appleton and Pionk. And it was completely unexpected. I mean, I will tell you, if there was a Betway odds as to who the Jets would start in overtime, there is not a chance any of the 452 people who are currently chatting away in the chat room would have picked that trio to start overtime for the Winnipeg Jets. And certainly not to win it in 32 seconds as was indicated. So, huge play by Scott Arneil and the coaching staff to play that hunch and to make that decision. And the thought was that maybe if the Jets won possession with the faceoff, if when Adam Lowry took the faceoff, would he get off for Mark Scheifele or, you know, insert someone else here? But regardless, sure, they didn't, and they didn't come off the ice, and instead they end up winning the game. And sure enough, it's Mason Appleton. And look, we're going to burn through our, it's just one game. But, you know, it's an important one game for Mason Appleton, and that gives you confidence to take into the next game, into the next game. And look, Nikolaj Ehlers could be back. We don't know the severity of what he's dealing with. He was obviously a game. Well, oh, hold on. Maybe you do.
I don't have any news, but Scott Arneil post game talking to the assembled media in Denver regarding Nikolaj Ehlers and his potential availability for tomorrow's game. Quote, "We're still trying to figure him out here. It's been nagging." It was, I think, if I'm not mistaken, a nagging lower body injury that he's been dealing with almost since the start of the season. We'll just discuss it tomorrow and see where it goes. If I was a betting man, and I wonder if our friends at Betway have placed odds on this or have odds available on this, my guess would be we will not see Nikolaj Ehlers tomorrow. You give him another day off, and then, of course, Friday is an off day for the Jets, and maybe he's back in time for Saturday against the Maple Leafs. That would be my guess. This is strictly my guess, is that you won't see him tomorrow. But obviously, if he's feeling better, they're going to have him in the lineup and not give it two thoughts about it whatsoever.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think that's probably a good point, Drew, and we'll see very shortly whether Nikolaj Ehlers is capable of playing tomorrow night or not. The Moose, for those who are curious, are heading to Chicago tomorrow morning. So they are going to be playing 3-3. If the Jets do need to make a recall, they'll be playing 3 games in 3 nights, starting in Chicago and then I think Milwaukee and then ending in Rockford. So they've got quite the weekend ahead of them. Maybe someone would rather go to Vegas and play in Vegas. We'll see, but who knows? But back to the overtime. I like the boldness of the decision because, like I said, who would have expected that? I don't think anyone would have. And you end up with 2 points as a result. And, one of the points that I just highlighted, and I think it's a good one, is the fact that it didn't go up. It didn't last 5 minutes. That was a quick overtime because you do have a game tomorrow night and you got a game against a Vegas team that's reeling a little bit. They're feeling good about themselves. They were up 2-0 over Calgary. By the way, that Calgary pick looking pretty good right now. but the point is that Calgary stormed back and ended up winning that game and beating Vegas and sending them home, unhappy with their road trip in Western Canada. So, I think that's a good thing for a Jets club that's going to fly over to Vegas and obviously they won't skate tomorrow morning, but they'll be ready to go against the Vegas Golden Knights. So should be a lot of fun tomorrow night's game. But I mean, that was a heck of a hockey game. It really was. And I really had no expectation. Usually I sometimes have a feeling one way or the other how games mm-hmm. could go, but I really didn't know. I thought it would be very interesting to watch how the Jets rebounded from their disappointment in Monday. And, one of the things we talked about on Monday's postgame show, Drew, was the fact that the Jets got away from the structure, what they talked about and got away. And that's not unexpected, right? They've been practicing. Mm-hmm. They had Paul Maurice for 8 years. They learned what they learned for 8 years. You don't unlearn habits in a few weeks or in a month of training camp and the first couple of weeks of the regular season. So, that's not necessarily going to be the MO is to be able to change it like that, but instead they showed that they could stick with what they're learning from Rick Bowness and his coaching staff. And like I said, more power to them that they were able to get an important 2 points against the Colorado team that, I mean, I think they said it on the broadcast. It's similar to Dallas. The Jets have not had a lot of success of late in Denver. And so for them to come out with 2 points is huge against the defending Stanley Cup champions.
You're absolutely right, Dave. I'm a huge 2 points for the Winnipeg Jets. Feel good about themselves. The measuring stick, of course, a game against a Colorado Avalanche team. It wasn't perfect, but it was effective. 2 points in the bank, and you never have to apologize for that. Before we go to break, Dave M., we have a winner from the last Illegal Curve merchandise contest. I know we've started the next one, and I know that I believe we've rectified.
I resolved the Mile High word, so anybody can put in Mile High, and you will get the bonus points for watching the show. So you're good in that regard.
There you go.
Mile High is working.
If you tried to put it in before, and maybe you got an error message, try again. Dave M, multitasking man.
I was working.
He's giving analysis. He's setting up contests. He's fixing contests. Is there anything the man cannot do? Secret word for the Illegal Curve contest, Mile High, all one word, all in caps. If you don't know what I'm talking about, on the YouTube feed of this show, there's a description where it says, gives a recap of what's going to be happening or where you can find the show. At the top of that, in that description of the show is a link in order to enter all of these contests where we're giving away all this great merchandise. Click that link. You can also find it on our Twitter feed at Illegal Curve. It's on our website, illegalcurve.com. You'll find that link. Click it there. You can do all these tasks. Do one of the tasks. Do all the tasks. Whatever you decide to do, that's how you get entries into the contest for some great Illegal Curve merchandise. So, Dave M., before we wrap up the Betway game recap, brought to you by our friends at Betway, give us the winner of the merchandise for the last game.
And just so folks know, writing Mile High in the chat won't get you the points. You have to enter down below. So that's something I want to point out. The winner of the second Illegal Curve contest and the winner of a Jets jersey, I'm kind of seeing of your choice because before I was giving away the Heritage Classic, but the first winner, Shane, was Capic. I said to him, he added a Heritage Classic. So I said, would you want one of the other two that we have, which are the home and the away? But he loved the Heritage Classic. He wanted the Heritage Classic. So Shane Capic, our first winner, about the Heritage Classic. And now we will give Graham Omelon, I hope I'm pronouncing it right, you're the second winner of the Illegal Curve contest and a Winnipeg Jets authentic jersey. So you're going to have to, you don't actually have to do anything because I've got your email. So I will contact you and you'll be able to send me all your info. And we're going to have you have a new authentic Winnipeg Jets jersey of your choice, Heritage Classic, home or away. And congratulations from Illegal Curve and wear it in good health.
Exactly right. Congratulations to Graham Omelon, the winner of tonight's contest or the contest for the last game. Be sure to get your entries in and we'll give away another jersey or another toque or another hat or another shirt, another sweatshirt, whatever it might be. We're going to give away something again real soon. So get your entries in now. That's been the Betway Game Recap brought to you by our friends at Betway. Title sponsor of the Illegal Curve post-game show. It's simple, fun, and safe to bet with Betway. So head on over to Betway and bet your way. When we come back, more of the Illegal Curve post-game show. We'll continue to talk about the Jets' victory over the Colorado Avalanche. We'll talk about the D pairings because we saw some shuffling there. Haven't really touched on that. We'll talk about that. We'll do the tough doc hardest hitting comment. Much more to come. I'm Drew Mandel. He's Dave Manuk. You're all watching the Illegal Curve post-game show. We're live on YouTube and all of our social media platforms. Don't go anywhere.
Jerry Seinfeld, Chris Rock, Jon Stewart, Dennis Miller, Brad Garrett, the biggest acts and all the up-and-comers. They've all made their mark at Rumors Comedy Club, North America's longest-running independent comedy club. Rumors has kept Winnipeg laughing for over 25 years. When was the last time you laughed out loud? Make it a great night out with friends or book your office or birthday party, even a fundraising event at Rumors. Get all the details and dates on upcoming shows at rumorscomedyclub.com.
He winds up. Oh, looks like Ezzy took that one right in the choppers.
A blistering fast puck hurts like H-E double hockey sticks. That's why I let the pros at Linden Market Dental Center turn my yow into
wow.
Get your brilliant smile back with state-of-the-art restorative and cosmetic dentistry from real pros.
And remember, always wear a mouth guard.
Now that's solid on ice advice. Learn more at LindenMarketDentalCenter.com. Creating smiles for life.
Whoa, Ezzy, everything okay? You look stressed.
Of course I'm stressed. We're moving, the house is upside down, the kids failed miserably at packing the fine china, and my life is in chaos. Chaos.
Yes, that does sound like a problem.
What am I going to do?
Ezzy, relax. Rolly's Transfer Moving and Storage is the answer. With 60 years of experience in moving Manitobans and a track record of exemplary customer service, one call to Rolly's and your stress is gone. No job is too big or too small. Just visit Rollies.com and they will take it from there.
Thanks, Dave. And thank you, Rollies Transfer Moving and Storage, online at Rollies.com.
Dave, my man, why are you in the car already? It's hours until game time.
Drew, it's because I'm stressed out right now, driving around downtown Winnipeg, looking for a parking spot, and I'm not finding one. I've lost Ginsburg. I don't even know where that guy is right now.
Dave, haven't I taught you anything? Do what I do. Pre-book your entire month's worth of game day parking with the Grid Park app. It's super easy to use and saves me both time and stress.
Well, Drew, I'm not independently wealthy like you are. So I'm sorry that I don't have millions of dollars to pre-book my parking month in advance. What's that going to cost you? $25?
How about $5?
Come on, $5? No
yep.
way.
$5. I'm not telling you a lie. And our listeners can get a free park with the new special promo code Illegal Curve. Guess what? There's more.
Come on, there's more, Drew. You're lying to me. What more could there be?
Grid Park now has underground parking, so my car can stay warm during the game.
So wait a second. All the driving around I do looking for parking, minus 40, you're telling me I could be toasty warm in a car after the hockey game?
That's exactly what I'm telling you. Underground parking. Just download the Grid Park app. That's GRYD Park. And use the code Illegal Curve. All one word. You'll park for free your first time.
Hi, it's Drew from Illegal Curve here. Selling your home can be stressful, but it wasn't for me. Thanks to my friends at Zappia Group Realty, they made the process so easy. My home sold within 48 hours and with multiple offers. Zappia Group Realty took care of everything with their exquisite customer service and attention to detail. If you want to sell your home for more in less time, get started by talking to Frank and Mauro Zappia of Zappia Group Realty online at zappiagroup.com.
For three generations and over 80 years, Tough Duck has been making apparel that works and plays as hard as the people who wear it. From jackets to work boots and everything in between, Tough Duck's clothing can handle the harshest environments, even the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Work to live, live to play. Visit toughduck.com.
Bottom of the hour, welcome back to the Illegal Curve post-game show. Drew Mandel, Dave Manuk with you, talking about the Jets' 4-3 overtime victory over the Colorado Avalanche. The Jets improved to 2 wins, 1 loss on the season. Much more to talk about regarding tonight's game, but first, Tough Duck hardest hitting comment for tonight's game, and this one's going to be a bit of a different one. You know, I have the prerogative to choose as I feel, and tonight's winner is Arc Sign. You are the winner of tonight's Tough Duck hardest hitting comment because you picked up on a great joke in the Rollies transfer commercial where you say, to be honest, if you let the kids pack the china, you deserve it. And Ark, I'm glad you picked up on that because I think that is a quality joke that I've written a while back now, and I don't recall anybody else commenting on it, and I could be wrong, but as far as I'm concerned, the fact that you commented on it, you win a Tough Duck toque. So Ark Sign, send me an email, drew@illegalcurve.com, or slide into my DMs @ICDrew, and we're going to hook you up with a toque, courtesy of our friends at Tough Duck. You never know what comment it's going to be that's going to win you the Tough Duck hardest hitting comment. Oftentimes, it's about the Jets game. Oftentimes, it's some sort of insightful analysis. Other times, it's somebody who's just insulting me. Whatever it might be, Ark Sign, you are proof positive that you never know when you're going to win the hardest hitting comment. So congratulations to you for picking up that subtle joke in the Rollies transfer moving and storage ad that wins you a Tough Duck toque. Dave M., we're going to be live on location this Saturday at Canada Life Center for the pregame skate for the Jets and the Toronto Maple Leafs. So the Illegal Curve Hockey Show live on location at the arena. So in behind us, in the background, you'll see morning skate. They might look like ants, the players, but you'll see us there. But if you want to see us up close and personal, even you know, where you can come and gaze upon our beauty or run away in horror at the actual sight of us, where are we going to be in the next couple of weeks?
Well, November 5th and 6th, Drew, we're going to be at the Winnipeg Ice Fishing Show because we'll be gearing up for hard water season, you know, at the Red River X place. There'll be dozens of retailers on site with all your favorite lures, electronics, ice shelters, augers, winter apparel, and more. Expert speakers, there's a kids scavenger hunt, and there's prize draws, which, as everybody knows, Illegal Curve loves to give prizes away. We'll have stuff when we're there live on location on November 5th to give away. Lots of great things. So make sure you're down there for the fishing show. Make sure you're down there to meet Illegal Curve. Price is $10. Admission at the door. Kids 12 and under are free. So join us and join our friends at the Winnipeg Ice Fishing Show November 5th and 6th at Red River X Place. Should be a lot of fun. I combine three things I love. Fishing, hockey, and talking.
There you go. What about Illegal Curve? Fishing, hockey, Illegal Curve.
Well, I kind of think Illegal Curve and hockey are kind of synonymous. I interchange them. I think about them the same thing.
It makes perfect sense. So yes, we can look forward to that coming up at the beginning of November. We hope that some of our friends come down and support, of course, the Winnipeg Ice Fishing Show, and come say hi to Dave, Ezzy, and myself as we will be broadcasting live from there. Dave, let's talk about the defense for the Winnipeg Jets, because we saw some significant shuffling of the Jets' D entering tonight's game. Morrissey and Pionk played together. Schmidt and Dylan played together. And what a lot of people have been clamoring for, including us, we saw Dylan Samberg enter the lineup and play with Dylan DeMello. I thought the Jets' D pairings, for the most part, were pretty solid in tonight's game. There were some instances where, of course, they ran into some trouble. Dylan Samberg, I think if you said that Dylan Samberg was relatively unnoticeable in tonight's game, that's a compliment. You know, you saw he hit the post or the crossbar on a seeing-eyed shot that Alexander Georgiev did not move on at all. So he was that close to scoring for the Winnipeg Jets tonight. But I thought him and Dylan DeMello paired together were very comfortable, were very solid, and were just, what I would describe, the best word I could use for both of them, professional in how they approach tonight's game.
Well, Dylan Mello is like, you know, if you're into horse racing like I am, and you watch, go to the track and you see the thoroughbred riding, you're walking mm-hmm. to the gate, and sometimes there's the pony keeping it nice and calm beside, you know, before the race, the pony's keeping it calm. Dylan DeMello is like the pony. He really is. And, mm-hmm. you know, it's amazing what he's able to do to calm things down. He's just his 400th NHL game tonight. So a big milestone for the Ontario kid, but he's just one of those guys who just has a very calming influence and doesn't do a lot of things although it's funny because he could have scored tonight, which would have been rather funny because I think I saw someone say he hasn't had a 5-on-5 goal in however long. I think 2019, someone said. So
that was me, I believe, in the over-under that we did last Saturday. It was in over-under.
There we go.
That was the last time
there
he scored a 5-on-5 goal.
Yeah. So I knew it was coming in somewhere there, Drew. But the point is that that's a good thing to have for a guy like Dylan Sandberg to be paired up with someone who plays that sort of game. I think that really can do well because, you know, it's funny, these guys are all experts. I mean, not experts, they're all professionals. But at the same time, with the guy like Josh Morrissey has a bad game, he doesn't have to worry about it. You know, Neil Pionk has a bad game, he doesn't have to worry about it. Mm-hmm. Brendan Dillon, Nate Schmidt, they have bad games. They don't really have to worry about it. But Dylan Sandberg, he knows that there's always going to be that pressure. He's going to have that behind him. And some guys can do real well with that pressure because, you know, it makes them thrive. Other guys just try not to make mistakes. And in doing so, it ends up, you know, not going well for them and not going well for the team. But I agree, Drew. I agree with the comments that we saw in the chat. And I really do think it's one of those situations where you do have an opportunity for a guy who didn't make a lot of noise tonight, and that's not a bad thing. And, you know, Dylan Sandberg's game is that. It can be – he has a little more offensive flair, but, you know, for the most part, he's going to play defensively solid, and you want him to play big and strong in front of the net, and that's what you saw from him tonight. And I think going forward – and look, we saw the – I mean, I talked to him for, you know, half an hour today in the summer, and you know that he feels good about his opportunity here, I think. And I think he sees that – hey, you know what? I've got a chance to do something. And I know if it wasn't, let's be realistic, guys. If it wasn't for injury mm-hmm. last year, he would have played a lot more games than he did. Right. I mean,
injured on the first day of training camp.
Well, no, I'm not talking about that. That was the high ankle, but I'm not talking about that one. I'm talking about, you know, when he got injured, I think he had played what, like 7 games in a row. And then all of a sudden got that injury. And then, mm-hmm. you know, of course that derailed him a little bit and then came back and played the last, I guess, what was it? 8 games of the regular season. So I think it was more, we know that had he not been injured, he would have been in this Jets lineup and that would have given him a ton of confidence. And now you're sitting there and training camp's a hard thing to measure, right? He doesn't play the first 2 games. So he's sitting there and he's like, well, I'm behind Logan Stanley, you know, and regardless of whether people are like, oh, it should be Dylan Sandberg, it should be Logan. The fact is the coaching staff who ultimately make the decision, they're the ones who said, okay, Logan Stanley's going in. So they let Logan Stanley go in, they pulled him out, and now Dylan Sandberg gets that opportunity. And we may see something similar, provided everybody stays healthy. We may see something similar to what we saw last year, which is Dylan Sandberg gets into this lineup and you can't bring him out and you're not going to get him out. And none of us would be surprised if Dylan Sandberg entrenches himself into that, whether I don't really care. The numbers are what they are, whatever they are, but in that 5-6 role on the Jets.
And you know what I liked? And I liked the pairing of Nate Schmidt and Brendan Dillon together as well. I thought Nate Schmidt played a more comfortable game, a more confident game being paired with Brendan Dillon. Brendan Dillon, there was one play, I believe it was in the third period, if I'm not mistaken, where he had Nathan MacKinnon streaking down his down his left side, and Brendan Dillon did a very effective job, did exactly what you would want of him, successfully rubbing out Nathan MacKinnon into the boards, preventing it from becoming any bit of a dangerous opportunity when it looked like it could have been very easily. You know, I like these D pairings for the Winnipeg Jets tonight. I thought Morrissey and DeMello struggled at times, certainly possession wise they did. If you look at the Corsi 4 number in tonight's game for both of them, look away, it's kind of ugly, more than kind of ugly. But I think that these, Morrissey and Pionk. Did I say Morrissey and DeMello? I meant Morrissey and Pionk. You know, the numbers aren't great there, But, you know, for the most part, I would not be surprised at all, and I would have no objection to these being the D pairings moving forward, at least, you know, for the Winnipeg Jets for the foreseeable future, barring injury or anything else, because there was a lot to like, I thought, from the revamped Jets D pairings for tonight's contest. But of course, you can't rest on your laurels too much. I don't even have a laurel to rest on. We have to, the Jets have to get right back on in action, have to get prepared for a Vegas Golden Knights team tomorrow night that has been playing, I believe, at least they had been playing some decent hockey to start the year. I haven't checked to see what they've done recently. Maybe I can do that right now while I'm yimmer-ammering right here. But the Jets back in action, of course, tomorrow night in Vegas, 9:30 p.m. puck drop, if I'm not mistaken, which will make 3-1 the Golden Knights are. They lost their last game.
It's 9 o'clock puck drop.
It's 9 o'clock, not 9:30. Okay, no, good. Nine. I just saved myself some sleep. Please, in that case.
Not only that, you also saved the chat. We would have had people showing up half an hour late because of you, Drew.
You're right. That would have been my error, and I apologize for that. You're right. It is just a regular 9 o'clock start tomorrow, which means post-game show right around 11:45 p.m. after the Jets and the Golden Knights. I'll be back here. Dave M. will be back here. Ginsburg says he'll be back here, but frankly, who knows with that guy. In any event, Dave and I will be here, and I hope all of you will be here to join us as well. If you haven't already done so, smash the like button. Yeah, do it right now. Smash that like button. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. You get entries in the contest.
Comment on the videos, folks. Even though you comment in the chat, which I love.
Yeah.
But I also respond to I try to respond to almost all the comments. Sometimes if they're mean, I don't respond. But generally speaking, I respond. If they're mean, though, I usually laugh and I'll screenshot them and send to Drew, just so you know. But try and comment on the videos. We like that. I'll respond. And also, again, little request from me to you. If you can comment on iTunes and let people know that you're listening and what you think about Illegal Curve, you don't have to say you like us. I hope you do.
Yeah, we prefer that. But whatever it is, we appreciate all the feedback, all the comments on all of our social media platforms. Subscribe, follow us everywhere Illegal Curve is. And that's why we do this for you.
Corey even hears my voice when he reads my responses. That's great.
There you go. That's a very
important. Wouldn't that be great if you could actually press a button? It would be my voice.
Sounds horrifying, to be perfectly honest, Dave, but whatever floats your boat, I suppose. In any event, Dave answered. See, there you go. Dave answered my silly comment is what Comet says. Dave, that's Dave's commitment to you and your comments all throughout our YouTube channel and all throughout, of course, our podcast pages and our website and everywhere you can leave comments. A big thank you to all the sponsors of Illegal Curve who make the post-game show, who make the Saturday show. They make the website a possibility. Our friends at Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club, Linden Market Dental Center, Zappia Group Realty, Betway, Tough Duck, Boston Pizza, Seagram's, Rolly's Transfer, Grid Park, and The Keg support these fine businesses because of their continued support of Illegal Curve Hockey. The Jets victorious tonight by a 4-3 margin in overtime. Tell your friends, tell your family, the best place to be after each and every Winnipeg Jets game. And again on Saturday mornings at 9 a.m. is back here on the Illegal Curve YouTube channel. Until tomorrow night's post game following the Jets and the Golden Knights right around 11:45 p.m. Central, give or take a couple of minutes. Dave Minuk, he's Dave Minuk. I'm your host, Drew Mandel. Thanks for watching. This has been the Illegal Curve Post Game Show.
Thanks for listening to this broadcast from Illegal Curve Hockey. For more great Illegal Curve content, subscribe to the Illegal Curve YouTube channel, follow at Illegal Curve on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, and visit your online home for hockey in Winnipeg, illegalcurve.com.